the 10th of November. Up and to the office, where we sat till noon, and then to the exchange, where spoke with several and had my head casting about how to get a penny, and I hope I shall. And then home, and there Mr. Moore, by appointment, dined with me, and after dinner, all the afternoon till night, drawing a bond and release against tomorrow for Thomas Trice and I to come to a conclusion, in which I proceed with great fear and jealousy, knowing him to be a rogue, and one that I fear hath at this time got too great a hank over me by the neglect of my lawyers. But among other things, I am come to an end with Mr. Moore for a £32 a good, while lying in my hand of my Lord Privy Seal's, which he, for the odd £7, doth give me a bond to secure me against, and so I get £25 clear. Then, he being gone, to the office, and there late, setting down yesterday's remarkable discourses, and so home to supper late, and to bed. The Queen, I hear, is now very well again, and that she hath bespoke herself a new gown. The 11th of November. Up and to my office all the morning, and at noon to the coffee-house, where, with Dr. Allen, some good discourse about physic and chemistry, and among other things, I telling him what dribble the German doctor do offer of an instrument to sink ships. He tells me that which is more strange, that something made of gold, which they call in chemistry aurum fulminans, a grain, I think he said, of it put into a silver spoon and fired, will give a blow like a musket and strike a hole through the spoon downward without the least force upward. And this he can make a cheaper experiment of, he says, with iron prepared. Thence to the change, and then being put off a meeting with Thomas Trice, he not coming, I home to dinner, and after dinner by coach with my wife to my periwig maker's, for my second periwig. But it is not done, and so, calling at a place or two, home. And there to my office, and there taught my wife a new lesson in arithmetic, and so sent her home, and then I to several businesses, and so home to supper and to bed, being mightily troubled with a cold in my stomach and head, with a great pain by coughing. The 12th of November. Lay long in bed, indeed too long, divers people and the officers at the office staying for me, my cousin Thomas Pepys, the executor, being below, and I went to him and stated reckonings about our debt to him, for his payments of money to my uncle Thomas, heretofore by the captain's order. I did not pay him, but will soon do it if I can. To the office, and there all the morning, where Sir William Penn, like a coxcomb, was so ready to cross me in a motion I made unawares, for the entering a man at Chatham into the works, wherein I was vexed to see his spleen, but glad to understand it, and that it was in no greater a matter, I being not at all concerned here. To the change, and did several businesses there, and so home with Mr. Moore to dinner, my wife having dined with Mr. Holyard, with her today, he being come to advise about her hollow sore place below in her privities. After dinner, Mr. Moore and I discoursing of my lord's negligence in attendance at court, and the discourse the world makes of it, with the too great reason that I believe there is for it, I resolved and took coach to his lodgings, thinking to speak with my lord about it without more ado. Here I met Mr. Howe, and he and I largely about it, and he very soberly acquainted me how things are with my lord, that my lord doth not do anything like himself, but follows his folly, and spends his time either at cards at court with the ladies, when he is there at all, or else at Chelsea with that slut, to his great disgrace. And indeed I do see and believe that my lord doth apprehend that he doth grow less, too, at court. Anon my lord doth come in, and I begin to fall in discourse with him, but my heart did misgive me that my lord would not take it well, and then found him not in a humour to talk. And so, after a few ordinary words, my lord not talking in that manner as he uses to do, I took leave and spent some time with Will Howe again, and told him how I could not do what I had so great a mind and resolution to do, but that I thought it would be as well to do it in writing, which he approves of, and so I took leave of him and by coach home, my mind being full of it and in pain concerning it. So to my office, busy, very late, the night's running on faster than one thinks. and so home to supper and to bed. The 13th of November. Up and at my office, busy all the morning with Commissioner Pett. At noon, I to the exchange, and meeting Shales, he and I to the coffee house, and there talked of our victualling matters, which, I fear, will come to little. However, I will go on and carry it as far as I can. So, home to dinner, where I expected Commissioner Pett, and had a good dinner, but he came not. After dinner came my periwig maker, and brings me a second periwig, made of my own hair, which comes to 21 shillings and 6 pence more than the worth of my own hair, so that they both come to £4 1 shilling and 6 pence, which he saith will serve me 2 years, but I fear it. He being gone, I to my office, and put on my new shag purple gown with gold buttons and loop lace, I being a little fearful of taking cold, and of pain coming upon me. Here I stayed, making an end of a troublesome letter, but to my advantage against Sir William Batten, giving Sir George Carteret an account of our late great contract with Sir William Warren for masts, wherein I am sure I did the King £600 service. That done, home to my wife to take a clyster, which I did, and it wrought very well, and brought away a great deal of wind, which I perceive is all that doth trouble me. After that, about 9 or 10 o'clock, to supper in my wife's chamber, and then about 12 to bed. The 14th of November. Up and to the office where we sat, and after we had almost done, Sir William Batten desired to have the room cleared, and there he did acquaint the board how he was obliged to answer to something lately said, which did reflect upon the controller and him, and to that purpose told how the bargain of winter's timber did not prove so bad as I had reported to the board it would. After he had done, I cleared the matter, that I did not mention the business as a thing designed by me against them, but was led to it by Sir John Minnis, and that I said nothing but what I was told by Mayers the purveyor, as much as by Dean, upon whom they laid all the fault, which, I must confess, did and doth still trouble me, for they report him to be a fellow not fit to be employed, when, in my conscience, he deserves better than any officer in the yard. I thought it not convenient to vindicate him much now, but time will serve when I will do it, and I am bound to do it. I offered to proceed to examine and prove what I said, if they please, but Mr. Coventry most discreetly advised not, it being to no purpose, and that he did believe that what I said did not, by my manner of speaking it, proceed from any design of reproaching them. And so it ended, but my great trouble is for poor Dean. At noon, home and dined with my wife, and after dinner Will told me, if I pleased, he was ready to remove his things, and so before my wife I did give him good counsel, and that his going should not abate my kindness for him if he carried himself well, and so bid God bless him and left him to remove his things, the poor lad weeping. But I am apt to think matters will be the better for it, both for him and us. So to the office, and there late, busy. In the evening Mr. Moore came to tell me that he had no opportunity of speaking his mind to my lord yesterday, and so I am resolved to write to him very suddenly. So, after my business done, I home, I having stayed till 12 o'clock at night almost, making an end of a letter to Sir George Carteret about the late contract for masts, wherein I have done myself right, and no wrong to Sir William Batten. This night, I think, is the first that I have lain without ever a man in my house beside myself, since I came to keep any, Will being this night gone to his lodgings. And by the way, I hear to-day that my boy Wainman hath behaved himself so with Mr. Davis, that they have got him put into a Barbados ship to be sent away. And though he sends to me to get a release for him, I will not, out of love to the boy, for I doubt to keep him here were to bring him to the gallows. The 15th of November, Lord's Day. Lay very long in bed with my wife, and then up and to my office, there to copy fair my letter to Sir George Carteret, which I did, and by, most opportunely, a footman of his came to me about other business, and so I sent it him by his own servant. I wish good luck with it. At noon, home to dinner, my wife not being up, she lying to expect Mr. Holliard, the surgeon. So I dined by myself, and in the afternoon to my office again, and there drew up a letter to my lord, stating to him what the world talks concerning him, and leaving it to him, and myself to be thought of by him as he pleases. But I have done but my duty in it. I wait Mr. Moore's coming for his advice about sending it. So home to supper to my wife, myself finding myself by cold got last night, beginning to have some pain, which grieves me much in my mind to see to what a weakness I am come. This day, being our Queen's birthday, the guns of the tower went all off, and in the evening the Lord Mayor sent from church to church to order the constables to cause bonfires to be made in every street, which, methinks, is a poor thing to be forced to be commanded. After a good supper with my wife, and hearing on the maids read in the Bible, we to prayers and to bed. The 16th of November. Up, and being ready, then abroad by coach to Whitehall, and there with the Duke, where Mr. Coventry did a second time go to vindicate himself against reports, and prove, by many testimonies that he brought, that he did nothing but what had been done by the Lord Admiral's Secretary heretofore, though he doth not approve of it, nor, since he had any rule from the Duke, hath he exceeded what he is there directed to take. And the thing, I think, is very clear, that they always did take, and that now he doth take less than ever they did heretofore. Thence away, and Sir George Carteret did call me to him, and discourse with me about my letter yesterday, and did seem to take it unkindly that I should doubt of his satisfaction in the bargain of masts, and did promise me that hereafter, whatever he doth hear to my prejudice, he would tell me before he would believe it, and that this was only Sir William Batten's report in this business, which, he says, he did ever approve of, in which I know he lies. Thence to my lord's lodgings, thinking to find Mr. Moore, in order to the sending away my letter of reproof to my lord. But I do not find him, but contrary do find my lord come to court, which I am glad to hear, and should be more glad to hear that he doth follow his business, that I may not have the occasion to venture upon his good nature, by such provocation, as my letter will be to him. So by coach home to the Exchange, where I talked about several businesses with several people, and so home to dinner with my wife, and then in the afternoon to my office, and there late, and in the evening Mr. Holyard came, and he and I, about our great work to look upon my wife's malady in her secrets, which he did, and it seems her great conflux of humours heretofore, that did used to swell there, did in breaking leave a hollow, which hath since gone in further and further, till now it is near 3 inches deep. But as God will have it, it doth not run into the bodywood, but keeps to the outside of the skin, and so it must be forced to cut it open all along, and which my heart, I doubt, will not serve for me to see done. And yet she will not have anybody else to see it done, no, not her own maids, and therefore I must do it, poor wretch, for her. Tomorrow night he is to do it. He being gone, I to my office again a little while, and so home to supper and to bed. The 17th of November. Up, and while I am dressing myself, Mr. Dean of Woolwich came to me, and I did tell him what had happened to him last Saturday in the office, but did encourage him to make no matter of it, for that I did not fear but he would in a little time be master of his enemies as much as they think to master him. And so he did tell me many instances of the abominable dealings of Mr. Pett of Woolwich toward him. So we broke up, and I to the office, where we sat all the forenoon doing several businesses, and at noon I to the Change, where Mr. Moore came to me, and by and by Thomas Trice, and my Uncle White, and so we off to a tavern, the New Exchange Tavern over against the Change, where I never was before, and I find my old playfellow, Ben Stanley, master of it. And thence to a scrivener to draw up a bond, and to another tavern, the King's Head, we went, and calling on my cousin Anger at the India House there, we ate a bit of pork from a cook's together, and after dinner did seal the bond, and I did take up the old bond of my uncle's to my aunt. And here Thomas Trice, before them, doth own all matters in difference between us is clear as to this business, and that he will in 6 days give me it, under the hand of his attorney, that there is no judgment against the bond which may give me any future trouble, and also a copy of the letters of his administration to Godfrey, as much of it as concerns me to have. All this being done, toward night we broke up, and so I home, and with Mr. Moore to my office, and there I read to him the letter I have writ to send to my lord, to give him an account how the world, both city and court, doth talk of him and his living as he doth there, in such a poor and bad house, so much to his disgrace, which Mr. Moore doth conclude so well drawn, that he would not have me by any means to neglect sending it, assuring me, in the best of his judgment, that it cannot but endear me to my lord, instead of what I fear, of getting his offence, and did offer to take the same words, and send them, as from him with his hand, to him, which I am not unwilling should come, if they are at all fit to go, from anybody but myself. And so, he being gone, I did take a copy of it to keep by me in shorthand, and sealed them up to send tomorrow by my will. So home, Mr. Holyard being come to my wife, and there she being in bed, he and I alone to look again upon her parts, and there he doth find that though it would not be much pain, yet she is so fearful, and the thing will be somewhat painful in the tending, which I shall not be able to look after, but must require a nurse and people about her, so that upon second thoughts he believes that a fomentation will do as well, and though it will be troublesome, yet no pain, and what her maid will be able to do without knowing directly what it is for, but only that it may be for the piles. For though it be nothing but what is very honest, yet my wife is loath to give occasion of discourse concerning it. Physic. By this my mind and my wife's is much eased, for I confess I should have been troubled to have had my wife cut before my face. I could not have borne to have seen it. I had great discourse with him about my disease. He tells me again that I must eat in a morning some loosening gruel, and at night, roasted apples, that I must drink now and then ale with my wine, and eat bread and butter and honey, and rye bread if I can endure it, it being loosening. I must also take once a week a glister of his last prescription, only honey now and then instead of butter, which things I am now resolved to apply myself to. He being gone, I to my office again to a little business, and then home to supper and to bed, being in a little pain by drinking of cold small beer today, and being in a cold room at the tavern, I believe. The 18th of November. Up, and after being ready and done a little business at the office, I and Mr. Hayter by water to Redriff, and so walked to Deptford, where I have not been a very great while, and there paid off the Milford in very good order, and all respect showed me in the office, as much as there used to be, to any of the rest or the whole board. That done, at noon I took Captain Turn, and there, coming in by chance, Captain Barclay, him also to dinner with me to the Globe. Captain Barclay, who was lately come from Algier, did give us a good account of the place, and how the Basha there doth live like a prisoner, being at the mercy of the soldiers and officers, so that there is nothing but a great confusion there. After dinner came Sir William Batten, and I left him to pay off another ship, and I walked home again, reading of a little book of new poems of Cowley's, given me by his brother. Abraham doth lie, it seems, very sick still, but like to recover. At my office till late, and then came Mr. Holyard, so full of discourse and Latin, that I think he hath got a cup, but I do not know, but full of talk he is, in defence of Calvin and Luther. He begun this night the fomentation to my wife, and I hope it will do well with her. He gone, I to the office again a little, and so to bed. This morning I sent Will with my great letter of reproof to my Lord Sandwich, who did give it into his own hand. My Lord, I do verily hope that neither the manner nor matter of this advice will be condemned by your lordship, when for my defence in the first I shall allege my double attempt, since your return from Hinchingbrook, of doing it personally, in both of which your lordship's occasions no doubtfulness of mine prevented me, and that being now fearful of a sudden summons to Portsmouth for the discharge of some ships there, I judge it very unbecoming the duty which, every bit of bread I eat tells me, I owe to your lordship to expose the safety of your honour to the uncertainty of my return. For the matter, my lord, it is such as could I, in any measure, think safe to conceal from, or likely to be discovered to you by any other hand, I should not have dared so far to own what from my heart I believe is false, as to make myself but the relator of others' discourse. But, sir, your lordship's honour being such as I ought to value it to be, and finding both in city and court that discourse is past to your prejudice, too generally for mine or any man's controlling but your lordship's, I shall, my lord, without the least greatening or lessening the matter, do my duty in laying it shortly before you. People of all conditions, my lord, raise matter of wonder from your lordship's so little appearance at court, some concluding thence your disfavour there, to which purpose I have had questions asked me, and endeavouring to put off such insinuations by asserting the contrary, they have replied that your lordship's living so beneath your quality, out of the way and declining of court attendance, hath been more than once discoursed about the king. Others, my lord, when the chief ministers of state and those most active of the council have been reckoned up, wherein your lordship never used to want an eminent place, have said, touching your lordship, that now your turn was served, and the king had given you a good estate, you left him to stand or fall as he would, and particularly in that of the navy, have enlarged upon your letting fall all service there. Another sort, and those the most, insist upon the bad report of the house wherein your lordship, now observed in perfect health again, continues to sojourn, and by name have charged one of the daughters for a common courtesan, alleging both places and persons where and with whom she hath been too well known, and how much her wantonness occasions, though unjustly, scandal to your lordship, and that as well to gratifying of some enemies as to the wounding of more friends, I am not able to tell. Lastly, my lord, I find a general coldness in all persons towards your lordship, such as, from my first dependence on you, I never yet knew, wherein I shall not offer to interpose any thoughts or advice of mine, well knowing your lordship needs not any, but with a most faithful assurance that no person nor papers under heaven is privy to what I here write, besides myself and this, which I shall be careful to have put into your own hands, I rest confident of your lordship's just construction of my dutiful intents herein, and in all humility, take leave. May it please your lordship. Your lordship's most obedient servant, S. P. November the 17th, 1663. Memorandum. The letter before going was sent sealed up and enclosed in this that follows. My lord, if this finds your lordship either not alone or not at leisure, I beg the suspending your opening of the enclosed till you shall be both, the matter very well bearing such a delay, and in all humility remain, may it please your lordship, your lordship's most obedient servant, S. P. November the 17th, 1663. My servant hath my directions to put this into your lordship's own hand, but not to stay for any answer. I pray God give a blessing to it, but I confess I am afeard what the consequence may be to me of good or bad, which is according to the ingenuity that he doth receive it with. However, I am satisfied that it will do him good, and that he needs it. The 19th of November. Up and to the office, where Sir John Minnis and Sir William Batten, being gone this morning to Portsmouth, the rest of us met and rose at noon. So I to the change, where little business, and so home to dinner. And being at dinner, came Creed in, and dined with us, and after dinner Mr. Gentleman, my Jane's father, to see us, and her. After a little stay with them, I was sent for by Sir George Carteret by agreement, and so left them. And to him, and with him by coach to my Lord Treasurer, to discourse with him about Mr. Gordon's having of money, and to offer to him whether it would not be necessary Mr. Gordon's credit, being so low as it is, to take security of him, if he demands any great sum, such as £20,000, which now ought to be paid him upon his next year's declaration, which is a sad thing that being reduced to this by us, we should be the first to doubt his credit, but so it is. However, it will be managed with great tenderness to him, My Lord Treasurer we found in his bedchamber being laid up of the gout. I find him a very ready man, and certainly a brave servant to the king. He spoke so quick and sensibly of the king's charge. Nothing displeased me in him but his long nails, which he lets grow upon a pretty thick white short hand, that it troubled me to see them. Thence with Sir George Carteret by coach, and he set me down at the New Exchange. In our way he told me there is no such thing likely yet as a Dutch war, neither they nor we being in condition for it, though it will come certainly to that in some time. Our interests lying the same way, that is to say in trade, but not yet. Thence to the Temple, and there visited my cousin Roger Pepys and his brother Dr. John, a couple, methinks, of very ordinary men, and thence to speak Mr. Moore, and met him by the way, who tells me, to my great content, that he believes my letter to my Lord Sandwich hath wrought well upon him, and that he will look after himself in his business upon it, for he begins already to do so. But I dare not conclude anything till I see him, which shall be tomorrow morning, that I may be out of my pain to know how he takes of me. He and I to the coffee-house, and there drank and talked a little, and so I home, and after a little at my office, home to supper and to bed, not knowing how to avoid hopes from Mr. Moore's words to-night. And yet I am fearful of the worst. The 20th of November. Up, and as soon as I could, to my Lord Sandwich's lodgings, but he was gone out before, and so I am defeated of my expectation of being eased one way or other in the business of my Lord. But I up to Mr. Howe, who I saw this day the first time in a periwig, which becomes him very well, and discoursed with him. He tells me that my Lord is of a sudden much changed, and he doth believe that he doth take my letter well. However, we do both bless God that it hath so good an effect upon him. Thence I home again, calling at the wardrobe, where I found my Lord, but so busy with Mr. Townsend, making up accounts there, that I was unwilling to trouble him, and so went away. By and by, to the Exchange, and there met by agreement Mr. Howe, and took him, with a barrel of oysters, home to dinner, where we were very merry, and indeed I observe him to be a very hopeful young man, but only a little conceited. After dinner I took him and my wife, and setting her in Covent Garden at her mother's, he and I to my Lord's, and thence I with Mr. Moore to Whitehall, and there, the King and Council being close, and I thinking it an improper place to meet my Lord first upon that business, I took coach, and calling my wife, went home, setting Mr. Moore down by the way. And having been late at the office alone, looking over some plates of the Northern Seas, the White Seas, and Archangel River, I went home, and after supper to bed. My wife tells me that she and her brother have had a great falling out to-night, he taking upon him to challenge great obligation upon her, and taxing her for not being so as she ought to her friends, and that she can do more with me than she pretends, and I know not what, but, God be thanked, she cannot. A great talk there is today of a crush between some of the fanatics up in arms and the king's men in the north, but whether true or no I know not yet. The 21st of November. At the office all the morning, and at noon I receive a letter from Mr. Creed with a token, viz. A very noble parti-coloured Indian gown for my wife. The letter is oddly writ, overprizing his present, and little owning any past service of mine. But that this was his genuine respects, and I know not what. I confess I had expectations of a better account from him of my service about his accounts, and so gave his boy 12 and sent it back again. And after having been at the pay of a ship this afternoon at the Treasury, I went by coach to Ludgate, and by pricing several there I guess this gown may be worth about 12 or 15 pounds. But, however, I expect at least £50 off him. So in the evening I wrote him a letter telling him clearly my mind, a copy of which I keep, and his letter, and so I resolve to have no more such correspondence as I used to have, but will have satisfaction of him as I do expect. So to write my letters, and after all done I went home to supper and to bed, my mind being pretty well at ease from my letter to Creed, and more for my receipt this afternoon of £17 at the Treasury, for the £17 paid a year since, to the carver for his work at my house, which I did intend to have paid myself, but finding others to do it, I thought it not amiss to get it too. But I am afeard that we may hear of it to our greater prejudices hereafter. The 22nd of November, Lord's Day. Up pretty early, and having last night bespoke a coach, which failed me this morning, I walked as far as the Temple, and there took coach, and to my Lord's lodgings, whom I find ready to go to chapel. But coming, he began with a very serious countenance to tell me that he had received my late letter, wherein, first, he took notice of my care of him and his honour, and did give me thanks for that part of it where I say that from my heart I believe the contrary of what I do there relate to be the discourse of others. But since I intended it not a reproach, but matter of information, and for him to make a judgment of it for his practice, it was necessary for me to tell him the persons of whom I have gathered the several particulars which I there insist on. I would have made excuses in it, but seeing him so earnest in it, I found myself forced to it, and so did tell him Mr. Pierce, the surgeon, in that of his low living being discoursed of at court, a maid-servant that I kept that lived at Chelsea School, and also Mr. Pickering, about the report touching the young woman, and also Mr. Hunt in Axe Yard, near whom she lodged. I told him the whole city doth discourse concerning his neglect of business, and so I many times asserting my dutiful intention in all this, and he owning his accepting of it as such. That troubled me most in particular is that he did there assert the civility of the people of the house and the young gentlewoman, for whose reproach he was sorry. His saying that he was resolved how to live, and that though he was taking a house, meaning to live in another manner, yet it was not to please any people or to stop report, but to please himself, though this I do believe he might say that he might not seem to me to be so much wrought upon what I have writ. And lastly, and most of all, when I spoke of the tenderness that I have used in declaring this to him, there being nobody privy to it, he told me that I must give him leave to accept one. I told him that possibly somebody might know of some thoughts of mine, I having borrowed some intelligence in this matter from them, but nobody could say they knew of the thing itself when I writ. This, I confess, however, doth trouble me, for that he seemed to speak it as a quick retort, and it must sure be Will Howe, who did not see anything of what I writ, though I told him indeed that I would write. But in this, I think, there is no great hurt. I find him, though he cannot but own his opinion of my good intentions, and so he did again and again profess it, that he is troubled in his mind at it, and I confess I think I may have done myself an injury for his good, which, were it to do again, and that I believed he would take it no better, I think I should sit quietly, without taking any notice of it. For I doubt there is no medium between his taking it very well and very ill. I could not forbear weeping before him at the latter end, which since I'm ashamed of, though I cannot see what he can take it to proceed from, but my tenderness and good will to him. After this discourse was ended, he began to talk very cheerfully of other things, and I walked with him to Whitehall, and we discoursed of the pictures in the gallery, which, it may be, he might do out of policy, that the boy might not see any strangeness in him. But I rather think that his mind was somewhat eased, and hope that he will be to me as he was before. But however, I doubt not but when he sees that I follow my business and become an honour to him, and not to be like to need him or to be a burden on him, and rather able to serve him than to need him, and if he doth continue to follow business, and so come to his right wits again, I do not doubt but he will then consider my faithfulness to him, and esteem me as he ought. At chapel I had room in the Privy Seal pew with other gentlemen, and there heard Dr. Killigrew preach, but my mind was so, I know not whether troubled or only full of thoughts of what had passed between my lord and me, that I could not mind it, nor can at this hour remember three words. The anthem was good after sermon, being the 51st psalm, made for five voices, by one of Captain Cook's boys. A pretty boy, and they say there are four or five of them that can do as much. And here I first perceived that the king is a little musical, and kept good time with his hand all along the anthem. up into the gallery after sermon, and there I met Creed. We saluted one another, but spoke not one word of what had passed yesterday between us, but told me he was forced to go to such a place to dinner, and so we parted. Here I met Mr. Povey, who tells me how Tangier had liked to have been betrayed, and that one of the king's officers is come, to whom 8,000 pieces of eight were offered for his part. Thence I to the King's Head Ordinary, and there dined. Good and much company, and a good dinner. Most of their discourse was about hunting, in a dialect I understand very little. Thence by coach to our own church, and there, my mind being yet unsettled, I could mind nothing. And after sermon, home, and there told my wife what had passed. And thence to my office, where doing business, only to keep my mind employed till late. And so home to supper, to prayers and to bed. The 23rd of November. Up and to Alderman Backwell's, where Sir William Ryder, by appointment, met us to consult about the insuring of our hemp ship from Archangel, in which we are all much concerned by my Lord Treasurer's command. That being put in a way, I went to Mr. Beecham, one of our jury, to confer with him about our business with Field at our trial tomorrow, and thence to St. Paul's Churchyard, and there bespoke Rushworth's collections, and Scobell's Acts of the Long Parliament, etc., which I will make the King pay for as to the office, and so I do not break my vow at all. Back to the coffee-house, and then to the change, where Sir William Ryder and I did bid 15%, and nobody will take it under 20%, and the lowest was 15% premio, and 15 more to be abated in case of loss, which we did not think fit without order to give. And so we parted, and I home to a speedy, though too good a dinner, to eat alone, viz. A good goose and a rare piece of roast beef. Thence to the temple, but being there too soon and meeting Mr. Moore, I took him up unto my Lord Treasurer's, and thence to Sir Philip Warwick's, where I found him and did desire his advice, who left me to do what I thought fit in this business of the insurance. And so back again to the temple, all the way telling Mr. Moore what had passed between my lord and me yesterday. And indeed my fears do grow that my lord will not reform as I hoped he would, nor have the ingenuity to take my advice as he ought, kindly. But, however, I am satisfied that the one person whom he said he would take leave to accept is not Mr. Moore, and so Will Howe, I'm sure, could tell him nothing of my letter that ever he saw it. Here Moore and I parted, and I up to the Speaker's chamber, and there met Mr. Coventry by appointment, to discourse about Field's business, and thence, we parting, I homewards and called at the coffee-house, and there, by great accident, hear that a letter is come that our ship is safe come to Newcastle. With this news I went, like an ass, presently to Alderman Backwell, and told him of it, and he and I went to the African House in Broad Street, to have spoke with Sir William Ryder to tell him of it, but missed him. Now what an opportunity had I to have concealed this, and seemed to have made an insurance, and got £100, with the least trouble and danger in the whole world. This troubles me to think I should be so overseen. So back again with Alderman Backwell, talking of the new money, which he says will never be counterfeited, he believes, but it is deadly inconvenient for telling, it is so thick and the edges are made to turn up. I find him as full of business, and, to speak the truth, he is a very painful man, and ever was, and nowadays is well paid for it. So home, and to my office, doing business late in order to the getting a little money, and so home to supper and to bed. The 24th of November. Up and to the office, where we sat all the morning, and at noon to the change, where everybody joyed me in our hemp ships coming safe. And it seems one man, Middleborough, did give 20% in gold last night, 3 or 4 minutes before the news came of her being safe. Thence with Mr. Dean home, and dined, and after dinner and a great deal of discourse of the business of Woolwich Yard, we opened his draft of a ship which he had made for me, and indeed it is a most excellent one, and that I hope will be of good use to me as soon as I get a little time, and much indebted I am to the poor man. Toward night I by coach to Whitehall to the Tangier Committee, and there spoke with my lord, and he seems mighty kind to me, but I will try him tomorrow by a visit to see whether he holds it or no. Then home by coach again, and to my office, where late with Captain Miners about the East India business. So home to supper and to bed, being troubled to find myself so bound as I am, notwithstanding all the physic that I take. This day our trial was with Field, and I hear that they have given him £20 damage more, which is a strange thing, but yet not so much as formerly, nor as I was afeard of. The 25th of November. Up and to Sir George Carteret's house, and with him by coach to Whitehall. He uses me mightily well, to my great joy, and in our discourse took occasion to tell me that as I did desire of him the other day, so he desires of me the same favour, that we may tell one another at any time anything that passes among us at the office, or elsewhere, wherein we are either dissatisfied one with another, and that I should find him in all things as kind and ready to serve me as my own brother. This, methought, was very sudden and extraordinary, and doth please me mightily, and I am resolved by no means ever to lose him again if I can. He told me that he did still observe my care for the King's service in my office. He set me down in Fleet Street, and thence I by another coach to my Lord Sandwich's, and there I did present him Mr. Barlow's Terella, with which he was very much pleased, and he did show me great kindness. And by other discourse I have reason to think that he is not at all, as I feared he would be, discontented against me, more than the trouble that the thing will work upon him. I left him in good humour, and I to Whitehall to the Duke of York and Mr. Coventry, and there advised about insuring the hemp ship at 1.5%, notwithstanding her being come to Newcastle. And I do hope that in all my three places, which are my hopes and supports, I may not now fear anything. But with care, which through the Lord's blessing I will never more neglect, I don't doubt but to keep myself up with them all. For in the Duke and Mr. Coventry, my Lord Sandwich and Sir George Carteret, I place my greatest hopes. And it pleased me yesterday that Mr. Coventry in the coach, he carrying me to the exchange at noon from the office, did, speaking of Sir William Batten, say that though there was a difference between them, yet he could embrace any good motion of Sir William Batten's to the King's advantage, as well as of Mr. Pepys's, or any friend he had. And when I talked that I would go about doing something of the Controller's work when I had time, and that I thought the Controller would not take it ill, he wittily replied that there was nothing in the world so hateful as a dog in a manger. Back by coach to the Exchange, there spoke with Sir William Ryder about insuring, and spoke with several other persons about business, and shall become pretty well known quickly. Thence home to dinner with my poor wife, and with great joy to my office, and there all the afternoon about business. And among others Mr. Bland came to me, and had good discourse, and he hath chose me a referee for him in a business. And anon in the evening comes Sir William Warren, and he and I had admirable discourse. He advised me in things I desired about bummery, and other ways of putting out money, as in parts of ships, how dangerous they are. And lastly, fell to talk of the Dutch management of the navy, and I think will help me to some accounts of things of the Dutch Admiralty, which I am mighty desirous to know. He seemed to have been mighty privy with my Lord Albemarle in things before this great turn, and to the King's dealings with him and others for some years before, but I doubt all was not very true. However, his discourse is very useful in general, though he would seem a little more than ordinary in this. Late at night, home to supper and to bed, my mind in good ease, all but my health, of which I am not a little doubtful. The 26th of November. Up and to the office, where we sat all the morning, and at noon I to the change, and there met with Mr. Cutler, the merchant, who would needs have me home to his house by the Dutch church, and there, in an old but good house, with his wife and mother, a couple of plain old women, I dined. A good plain dinner, and his discourse after dinner with me upon matters of the navy victualling, very good and worth my hearing. And so home to my office in the afternoon with my mind full of business, and there at it late, and so home to supper to my poor wife and to bed, myself being in a little pain in one of my testicles, By a stroke I did give it in pulling up my breeches yesterday over-eagerly, but I will lay nothing to it till I see whether it will cease of itself or no. The plague, it seems, grows more and more at Amsterdam, and we are going upon making of all ships coming from thence and Hamburg, or any other infected places, to perform their quarantine, for 30 days, as Sir Richard Brown expressed it, in the order of the council, contrary to the import of the word, though in the general acceptation it signifies now the thing, not the time spent in doing it, in Holehaven, a thing never done by us before. The 27th of November. Up and to my office, where busy with great delight all the morning, and at noon to the change, and so home to dinner with my poor wife and with great content to my office again, and there hard at work upon stating the accounts of the freight due to the King from the East India Company till late at night, and so home to supper and to bed. My wife mightily pleased with my late discourse of getting a trip over to Calais or some other port of France the next summer, in one of the yachts, and I believe I shall do it. And it makes good sport that my maid Jane dares not go, and Bess is wild to go and is mad for joy, but yet will be willing to stay if Jane hath a mind, which is the best temper in this, and all the other things that ever I knew in my life. The 28th of November. Up and at the office, sat all the morning, and at noon by Mr. Coventry's coach to the change, and after a little while there, where I met with Mr. Pierce, the surgeon, who tells me for good news that my Lord Sandwich is resolved to go no more to Chelsea, and told me he believed that I had been giving my Lord some counsel, which I neither denied nor affirmed, but seemed glad with him that he went thither no more. And so I home to dinner, and thence abroad to Paul's Churchyard, and there looked upon the second part of Hudibras, which I buy not but borrow to read, to see if it be as good as the first, which the world cries so mightily up, though it hath not a good liking in me, though I have tried by twice or three times reading to bring myself to think it witty. Back again home, and to my office, and there late doing businesses, and so home to supper and to bed. I have been told it 2 or 3 times, but today for certain I am told how in Holland publicly they have pictured our king with reproach. One way is with his pockets turned the wrong side outward, hanging out empty. Another with 2 courtiers picking of his pocket. And a third leading of 2 ladies while others abuse him, which amounts to great contempt. The 29th of November, Lord's Day. This morning I put on my best black cloth suit, trimmed with scarlet ribbon, very neat, with my cloak lined with velvet and a new beaver, which altogether is very noble with my black silk knit canons I bought a month ago. I to church alone, my wife not going, and there I find my Lady Batten in a velvet gown, which vexed me that she should be in it before my wife, or that I'm able to put her into one. But what cannot be, cannot be. However, when I came home I told my wife of it, and to see my weakness I could on the sudden have found my heart to have offered her one, but second thoughts put it by, and indeed it would undo me to think of doing as Sir William Batten and his lady do, who hath a good estate besides his office. A good dinner we had of boeuf à la mode, but not dressed so well as my wife used to do it, so after dinner I to the French church, but that being too far begun, I came back to St. Dunstan's by us, and heard a good sermon, and so home. And to my office all the evening, making up my accounts of this month. And blessed be God, I have got up my crumb again to £770, the most that ever I had yet, and good clothes a great many besides, which is a great mercy of God to me. So home to supper and to bed. The 30th of November. Was called up by a messenger from Sir William Penn to go with him by coach to Whitehall. So I got up and went with him. And by the way he begun to observe to me some unkind dealing of mine to him, a week or two since at the table, like a coxcomb, which I answered him pretty freely, that I could not think myself to owe any man that service, to do this or that because they would have it so. It was about taking of a mulct upon a purser, for not keeping guard at Chatham when I was there. So he talked, and I talked, and let fall the discourse, without giving or receiving any great satisfaction. and so to another discourse, but I shall know him still for a false knave. At Whitehall, the Duke we met in the matted gallery, and there he discoursed with us, and by my Lord Sandwich came and stood by and talked. But it being St. Andrew's, and a collar day, he went to chapel, and we parted from him. And Sir William Penn and I back again, and I, light at the change, and to the coffee-house, where I heard the best story of a cheat intended by a master of a ship, who had borrowed twice his money upon bottomry, and as much more insured upon his ship and goods as they were worth, and then would have cast her away upon the coast of France, and there left her, refusing any pilot which was offered him. And so the governor of the place took her, and sent her over hither to find any owner, and so the ship is come safe, and goods and all, not all worth £500, and he had one way or other taken £3,000. The cause is to be tried to-morrow at Guildhall, where I intend to be. Thence home to dinner, and then with my wife to her arithmetic. In the evening came Will Howe to see me, who tells me that my lord hath been angry 3 or 4 days with him, would not speak to him, at last did, and charged him with having spoken to me about what he had observed concerning his lordship, which, Will Howe denying stoutly, he was well at ease, and continues very quiet, and is removing from Chelsea as fast as he can. But, methinks, both by my lord's looks upon me to-day, or it may be it is only my doubtfulness, and by Will Howe's discourse, my lord is not very well pleased, nor, it may be, will be a good while, which vexes me, but I hope all will be over in time, or else I am but ill rewarded for my good service. Anon he and I to the Temple, and there parted, and I to my cousin Roger Pepys, whom I met going to his chamber. He was in haste, and to go out of town to-morrow. He tells me of a letter from my father which he will keep to read to me at his coming to town again. I perceive it is about my father's jealousy concerning my wife's doing ill offices with me against him, only for the differences they had when she was there, which he very unwisely continues to have, and trouble himself and friends about to speak to me in. As my Lord Sandwich, Mr. Moore, and my cousin Roger, which vexes me, but I must impute it to his age, and care for my mother and Paul, and so let it go. After little discourse with him I took coach and home, calling upon my booksellers for 2 books, Rushworth's and Scobell's collections. I shall make the king pay for them. The first I spent at my office some time to read, and it is an excellent book. So home, and spent the evening with my wife in arithmetic, and so to supper and to bed. I end this month with my mind in good condition for anything else, by my unhappy adventuring to disoblige my lord, by doing him service in representing to him the discourse of the world concerning him and his affairs. December 1663. The first. Up and to the office, where we sat all the morning. At noon, I home to dinner with my poor wife, whom nowadays I enjoy great pleasure in her company and learning of arithmetic. After dinner I to Guildhall to hear a trial at King's Bench, before Lord Chief Justice Hyde, the same I mention in my yesterday's journal, where everything was proved how money was so taken up upon bottomry and insurance, and the ship left by the master and seamen upon rocks, which, when the sea fell at the ebb, she must perish. The master was offered help, and he did give the pilots 20 souls to drink, to bid them go about their business, saying that the rocks were old, but his ship was new, and that she was repaired for £6 and less, all the damage that she received, and is now brought by one sent over on purpose by the insurers into the Thames, with her cargo, vessels of tallow daubed over with butter, instead of all butter, the whole not worth above £500, ship and all, and they had took up, as appeared, above £2,400. He had given his men money to content them, and yet for all this he did bring some of them to swear that it was very stormy weather, and did all they could to save her, and that she was 7 feet deep water in hold, and were fain to cut her main and foremast. That the master was the last man that went out, and they were fain to force out when she was ready to sink and her rudder broke off. And she was drawn into the harbour after they were gone, as a rack all broke, and goods lost, that could not be carried out again without new building, and many other things, so contrary as is not imaginable more. There was all the great council in the kingdom in the case, but after one witness or two for the plaintiff, it was cried down as a most notorious cheat, and so the jury, without going out, found it for the plaintiff. But it was pleasant to see what mad sort of testimonies the seamen did give, and could not be got to speak in order, and then their terms such as the judge could not understand, and to hear how sillily the counsel and judge would speak as to the terms necessary in the matter would make one laugh, and above all a Frenchman that was forced to speak in French, and took an English oath he did not understand, and had an interpreter sworn to tell us what he said, which was the best testimony of all. So home, well satisfied with this afternoon's work, purposing to spend an afternoon or two every term so, and so to my office a while, and then home to supper, arithmetic with my wife, and so to bed. I heard other causes and saw the course of pleading by being at this trial, and heard and learnt two things. One is that every man hath a right of passage in, but not a title to, any highway. The next, that the judge would not suffer Mr. Crow, who hath fined for alderman, to be called so, but only master, and did 8 or 9 times fret at it, and stop every man that called him so. The 2nd of December. My wife troubled all last night with the toothache, and this morning. I up and to my office where busy, and so home to dinner with my wife, who is better of her teeth than she was. And in the afternoon, by agreement, called on by Mr. Bland, and with him to the Ship, a neighbour tavern, and there met his antagonist, Mr. Custis, and his referee, Mr. Clark, a merchant also, and begun the dispute about the freight of a ship hired by Mr. Bland to carry provisions to Tangier, and the freight is now demanded, whereas he says that the goods were some spoiled, some not delivered, and upon the whole demands £1,300 of the other, and their minds are both so high, their demands so distant, and their words so many and hot against one another, that I fear we shall bring it to nothing. But, however, I am glad to see myself so capable of understanding the business as I find I do, and shall endeavour to do Mr. Bland all the just service I can therein. Here we were in a bad room which vexed me most, but we meet at another house next. So, at noon, I home and to my office till 9 o'clock, and so home to my wife to keep her company, arithmetic, then to supper and to bed, she being well of her teeth again. The 3rd of December. Up and to the office, where all the forenoon, and then by Mr. Coventry's coach to the change, and so home to dinner very pleasantly with my poor wife. Somebody from Portsmouth, I know not who, hath this day sent me a runlet of tent. So to my office all the afternoon, where much business till late at night, and so home to my wife, and then to supper and to bed. This day Sir George Carteret did tell us at the table that the Navy, excepting what is due to the yards upon the quarter now going on, and what few bills he hath not heard of, is quite out of debt, which is extraordinary good news, and upon the change, to hear how our credit goes as good as any merchant's upon the change is a joyful thing to consider, which God continue. I am sure the King will have the benefit of it, as well as we some peace and credit. The 4th of December. Up pretty betimes, that is, about 7 o'clock, it being now dark then, and so got me ready with my clothes, breeches, and warm stockings, and by water with Henry Russell, cold and wet and windy, to Woolwich, to a hemp ship there, and stayed looking upon it and giving direction as to the getting it ashore, and so back again, very cold, and at home, without going on shore anywhere, about 12 o'clock, being fearful of taking cold. And so dined at home, and shifted myself, and so all the afternoon at my office till night, and then home to keep my poor wife company, and so to supper and to bed. The 5th of December. Up and to the office, where we sat all the morning, and then, with the whole board, viz. Sir John Minnis, Sir William Batten, and myself, along with Captain Allen, home to dinner, where he lives hard by in Mark Lane, where we had a very good plain dinner and good welcome, in a pretty little house, but so smoky that it was troublesome to us all, till they put out the fire and made one of charcoal. I was much pleased with this dinner for the many excellent stories told by Mr. Coventry, which I have put down in my book of tales, and so shall not mention them here. We stayed till night, and then Mr. Coventry away, and by and by I home to my office till 9 or 10 at night, and so home to supper and to bed. After some talk and arithmetic with my poor wife, with whom nowadays I live with great content, out of all trouble of mind by jealousy, for which God forgive me, or any other distraction, more than my fear of my Lord Sandwich's displeasure. The 6th of December. Lord's Day. Lay long in bed, and then up and to church alone, which is the greatest trouble that I have by not having a man or boy to wait on me. And so, home to dinner, my wife, it being a cold day, and it beginning to snow, the first snow we have seen this year, kept her bed till after dinner, and I below by myself looking over my arithmetic books, and timber rule. So my wife rise anon, and she and I all the afternoon at arithmetic, and she has come to do addition, subtraction, and multiplication very well, and so I purpose not to trouble her yet with division, but to begin with the globes to her now. At night came Captain Grove to discourse with me about Field's business and of other matters, and so, he being gone, I to my office, and spent an hour or two reading Rushworth, and so to supper home, and to prayers and bed, finding myself by cold to have some pain begin with me, which, God defend, should increase. The 7th of December. Up betimes, and it being a frosty morning, walked on foot to Whitehall, but not without some fears of my pain coming. At Whitehall I hear and find that there was the last night the greatest tide that ever was remembered in England to have been in this river, all Whitehall having been drowned, of which there was great discourse. Anon we all met, and up with the Duke, and did our business, and by my Lord of Sandwich came in, but whether it be my doubt or no I cannot tell, but I do not find that he made any sign of kindness or respect to me, which troubles me more than anything in the world. After done there, Sir William Batten and Captain Allen and I, by coach to the Temple, where I light, they going home, and indeed it being only my trouble of mind, to try whether I could meet with my Lord Sandwich, and try him, to see how he will receive me. I took coach, and back again to Whitehall, but there could not find him. But here I met Dr. Clark, and did tell him my story of my health, how my pain comes to me nowadays. He did write something for me which I shall take when there is occasion. I then fell to another discourse of Dr. Knapp, who tells me he is the king's physician, and is become a solicitor for places for people, and I am mightily troubled with him. He tells me he is the most impudent fellow in the world that gives himself out to be the king's physician, but is not so, but is cast out of the court, from whence I may learn what impudence there is in the world, and how a man may be deceived in persons. Anon the king and duke and duchess came to dinner in the Vane room, where I never saw them before, but it seems since the tables are down he dines there altogether. The queen is pretty well, and goes out of her chamber to her little chapel in the house. The king of France, they say, is hiring of 60 sail of ships of the Dutch, but it is not said for what design. By and by, not hoping to see my lord, I went to the king's head ordinary, where a good dinner, but no discourse almost, and after dinner by coach home, and find my wife this cold day just got out of bed, and after a little good talk with her, to my office, and there spent my time till late. Sir William Warren 2 or 3 hours with me, talking of trade and other very good discourse, which did please me very well, and so, after some reading in Rushworth, home to supper and to bed.